It's the Redbird Reboot Podcast. Are you ready to get rebooted, Cardinals fans?
He settles down, at least in the zone, and does not stop running.
Blake Murphy.
This is the identity for the Arizona Cardinals.
The run defense is just horrendous, and it's been horrendous for the Cardinals for a long time.
And Marcos Labrada.
He's going to bring over his philosophy. It should make it better.
Present the hottest NFL podcast from the country's hottest state.
He should be turning around the logo.
Actually, some breaking news we can cover here. This popped up just about, 6 minutes ago.
It's Redbird Reboot.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans. Welcome into the Redbird Reboot Podcast. I'm Blake Murphy 7, joined here with Marcos Labrada, a.k.a. at PancakeSoul. And Marcos, been a long spot to get here. We're finally at essentially just 1 week away from the longest break without football that we're going to have for the duration of 2024. The Cardinals are entering their OTAs next week with rookie mini camp in the books, and the Arizona Cardinals schedule has dropped. Are you looking forward to getting a little bit of time off, or is this kind of the spot where we get so excited about these draft picks, these rookies, about the schedule, and then you just kind of have to kind of be no football until training camp for a couple of months? How are you doing today, and how do you feel about this upcoming pause?
Well, it's always like the dry season where we start like trying to look for like different type of content and whatnot. This is where the creative stuff starts coming out, because we can only fantasize and try to like figure out what's going on in training camp, try to figure out if by any means are these rookies actually showing out, what they're doing. We're putting our ear to the ground to see what these insiders are telling us, like, hey, Garrett Williams looks really good in camp, but you know, he's still nursing that injury, or like for this year's draft, hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. is looking really good out there. He's looking really smooth. He's looking like he's hitting out his brakes really sharp, you know, that type of stuff. So this is where the insiders really bank, like pretty much get all their money is worth. They put out their tweets. They say like, you know, breaking news, this happened or that happened and whatnot. But that's only because of the fact that it's so slow at this time. We don't have much to go off of. So other than that, like usually we take this break to be able to like, you know, look at some other stuff deeper in. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's a slow time in football.
Yes, for sure. Now, it isn't a fully slow time in football. You do have a little bit of NFL news happening, with the biggest one being the Cardinals signing of Zay Jones, which I believe we talked a little bit about with some jersey numbers, some selections. But with Zay Jones being added, it really feels, Marcos, like that is the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver room now for the most part. Now with Zay Jones, this was a pick where I think there's a lot of people who saw this as a natural fit for the Arizona Cardinals, because they don't have anyone in that receiving room who's got more receiving yards in their season, much less in their career, as Zay Jones does. He in 2022 had 823 yards as a member of the Jaguars, was, I believe, originally drafted with the Bills, traded to the now Las Vegas Raiders. Last year, struggled with injury, still coming off of a difficult kind of recovery process. Didn't play a whole lot of games, only had 34 receptions, but he fits that mold of that 6'2 wide receiver who's able to play on the outside, play on the inside. You throw him into the mix with Marvin, you throw him into the mix with Michael Wilson, and then it kind of brings up the question of what is going to be the idea for him. Now, clearly, he chose to pick the Cardinals over some other teams that had been looking at him. And I don't think that's necessarily indicative of saying that the Cardinals paid him more, or that, you know, these other teams were going to use him more. I think it's a combination of where he's at with his health and where the Arizona Cardinals are in terms of they don't have any veterans right now. He's got a good chance to be able to come in and maybe even not just get playing time sooner than later. But if his recovery is needed, as far as he needs a little bit of time to work back, just getting a guy into the room who is able to actually be like a mentor type for some of these other younger guys, that I think is pretty important for the most part, especially given that the Cardinals are going to be expected to not just have to win right out of the gate with some difficult opponents up front in a competing year, but with a lot of guys who ultimately have only 1 year of experience, or in the case of a Marv and some of these other late picks and undrafted guys, it's going to be their first time in the NFL. They're going to get tossed right into the fire against a Buffalo Bills team on the road, which we'll talk about that. But what are some of your thoughts on the Zay Jones acquisition? And do you think that this is a, he's going to be like the wide receiver too, or is this more of like a competitive move to see how he is before he actually gets involved and has a shot to make that Cardinals roster?
I think it's going to be a situation where he goes brought in to be the wide receiver too, which I don't 100% agree with. He is hitting 29 years old. He's going to go into his 30s. We don't even know if he still has that speed that he put out when he got drafted. But this is a classic. Like, my hopes is the coaching staff went out to go sign a veteran wide receiver to be more of like a veteran presence and to be that, you know, that safety valve just in case, like, let's just say Michael Wilson goes down and we don't have that number two out there. But if it was a situation where he's being brought in for competition, it's almost like it's always given that like the person who has more yards and the veteran is always going to be the guy who's going to be more trusted. So you're bringing him in and like you're kind of like shafting Michael Wilson in that situation where you're like, yeah, we had confidence and we liked you as a number two receiver. Like you were doing great last few games of the season. You were having good connections with Kyler Murray. You were doing some of the stuff that our wide receiver core was not able to do on a consistent basis, like fighting for like 50-50 balls, coming back to the ball, going on scrambling drills, being the first option for Kyler Murray to look down the field to see who's wide open when he scrambles. And you're bringing in Zay Jones. And if you're bringing in Zay Jones for one reason or another, I would hope it's for like, oh, Zay is, you know, being signed so he could be that veteran presence. But that could be different from what Zay wants to do. Zay wants to come over and he wants to have himself a good season. There's no doubt about that. Because having good seasons will lead to better contracts that later down the line or long-term contracts. So I'm not exactly too excited about this signing. People are reading into this signing as in like, oh, he's very excited to play with Kyler Murray. He's very excited to play with this Cardinals team that like looks like they're coming up and whatnot. And they're going to be a possible playoff contender. But to me, seeing what the coaching staff was doing is, what the intention tells me a lot, and we'll see when the year goes on what those intentions are. If he's out snapping Michael Wilson and people are starting to point the finger and say like, well, Michael Wilson isn't winning that competition. Well, a lot of times these people with more experience are the ones who are naturally given those snaps because of the fact that they do have that experience and they do want to win games. So I'm not in favor of him pushing Michael Wilson down the you know, the depth chart, because I'd rather have Michael Wilson ascend, get those snaps, and then possibly be a 1,000 yard receiver. And in his young years, those development years are very, very crucial for a young wide receiver. So as a veteran signing, I'm for it. As a person who's pushing Michael Wilson down, I'm not.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, because I think there's two ways you can look at it. One thing that you have to consider with Zay Jones is just how the injury history was so different from last year to this year. So what we can see, at least with Jones, is that last year, after a pretty much full season in 2020 where he missed one game with an ankle, he had a PCL injury against the Chiefs in week two. Essentially, like with PCL, you're talking about like there's the posterior cruciate ligament and the anterior, like ACL, PCL. It's all part of a knee injury. Obviously, with wide receivers, the knee is going to be part of that explosiveness because, you know, if you ever go out and try to catch a ball, there's two things that you really need if you're going to be a receiver in the NFL. You're going to need hands and you're going to need your knees, because you need to be able to not just explode, be able to go through contact, and being able to have your hand able to catch a ball. I think back to the Michael Floyd injury, and I think what was his final, I think it was the entering the 2016 season. That was the year in which it was essentially the Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson show. He had a knee injury coming in, just was not able to have any sort of explosiveness. And he also had, I believe, in one training camp, a hand injury where he just wasn't able to kind of catch the ball with two hands. It took him some time to get back. The biggest thing with Zay to worry about is the re-injuring. So he re-injured his knee in week five, missed another four games after he missed two. So he's already missing majority of the season. And then you look at in December, he had a left hamstring injury against the Ravens. They also said that he had to return a lot earlier than he was supposed to. So one of the things, at least in this Yahoo Sports article that talks about it, was he dealt with injuries all year essentially and played through injury. A lot of times you say, great, like you want to see a guy who plays through, but I think there's a difference between playing injured and playing hurt. Like we've talked about how when Kyler Murray was injured, he didn't play in some of those games, came back and you saw some of the explosiveness. And then you talk about playing injured, which is that hamstring that Kyler had against the Vikings game, if you remember, where he kind of pulled up on his hammy back in that 2022 season that we try to forget. And with a lot of playing through some of those injuries, because the Cardinals were just trying to go out there and win games, Colt McCoy obviously had that concussion that he ended up running into. He just wasn't able to really finish either 2022 or 2023 season. You want to make sure that guys are in a spot where they're able to play, because if you do depend on them and they get hurt, you're going to have to then rely on your depth. And as we saw with Colt McCoy, if your depth gets hurt, then that's where it becomes an issue. And where is this all going? I think what it kind of cements it as is this is a crucial year, I think, for one, Zay Jones to be able to. He's age 29. He's an older receiver. He's basically going to be probably playing for 1 or 2 year deals after this. It's also a crucial year for Michael Wilson, because if Michael Wilson goes out and you said, hey, at the end of the year, Zay Jones played more than we thought, because even though he was kind of coming in as wide receiver 3 behind Michael Wilson, he passed him up on the depth chart and Michael Wilson missed 6 games. You may go into your 2025 season saying that wide receiver 2 is a need again for the Arizona Cardinals. I think back to that 2021 season where the Cardinals passed on CeeDee Lamb the year before. They decided we're going to go out there and bring in the likes of AJ Green as our wide receiver 2, and he didn't really finish the season as healthy. They finally add Rondale Moore, but they still had not really addressed the position and then had a total reset. The biggest thing I think a lot of times is you also look at that age 29 and say, is this part of his body breaking down or a 1 year thing? Because we want to find out what the status of his health will be. Because if he's a guy that doesn't seem, like you said, to have that explosion, he could be one of those surprise cuts in training camp. But I think that he, at least at minimum, if he's able to go through and be able to be healthy, be able to be productive and make it through, it does feel like this would be the end for Zach Pascal, who was more of a decoy as far as his usage last year. I think that at the end of the day, what you're looking for with this Cardinals team is going to be trying to find a different role for each guy. Marvin, clearly he's your wide receiver 1. He's expected to be that right away. You've got your veteran receiver who's there in the room, who's produced at a 800-yard level in the NFL there. You've got the Michael Wilson, who's the young, hopefully ascending player, who's looking to stay healthy. And you got Greg Dortch, who right now, I think a lot of people have wondered, could Zay Jones take away from Greg Dortch? And I think because there's no one else on the roster who is Dortch's size, maybe there's something that you could be said for that. But I do wonder if, Marcos, this is more of a push Michael Wilson type of role, because it's so much different from the skill set that Greg Dortch brings at his, you know, 5'9", quickly separate and get open versus the 6'2 guy who's been used for the majority of his career outside. It's going to be one of the things that we will watch in training camp, because that is going to be a truly veteran receiver you're bringing into that Cardinals room. And we're going to actually see how that works with Kyler Murray and a bunch of these younger players. Like you said, we saw him succeed with a DeAndre Hopkins as a veteran coming in. We saw him produce with Hollywood Brown as a veteran coming in. This is something that we've seen with AJ Green. This isn't quite the caliber of those number one guys, but I do think that there is a really good shot of Zay Jones making this roster. And he also, I think, for his contract details, are not on over the cap yet, but this is just a 1 year, $4 million contract, essentially just veteran minimum money for the most part. What do you think as far as what we can expect from the Cardinals with Zay Jones and maybe the offense in general? Like, is this preventing us from lighting the torch yet again?
No, I don't think he's going to be he's not going to be utilized in the same way as Greg Dortch is going to be. The one person that he is going to – that he's pretty much going to, you know, play position-wise is he's going to play as a move wide receiver. So that's usually the difference, like, between the Z – and the Y receiver, basically. I think it's more of the Y. So the guy that you have to put in motion and whatnot to be able to, like, figure out whether a defense is playing zone or man coverage, or that person that you just, you know, naturally send on a jet stream, that's the position that I saw Michael Wilson taking over. He was playing well at the outside. So if you have him lined up at the outside and you have him switch from one position to another, that would naturally be, like, what you would want to do. Of course, you can interchange those positions between whatever receiver. It's not saying like, hey, this guy's just the X, so that's all he does is just lines up at the outside. Marvin Harrison was used as that move wide receiver in college as well. He was also that guy that was moved in, you know, certain possessions and whatnot. But the majority of the snaps of those were going to be Michael Wilson. So I picture Zay Jones in that same position. I don't picture him being more of like the Greg Dortch slot position. So I think Greg Dortch should be fine, although I wouldn't be surprised if he got shafted again for another year, which, you know, it just continues to be that same story with the Cardinals. Like, we just continuously don't give any, confidence to Greg Dortch. But I think it's more of like a Michael Wilson type of, you know, they're playing in the same position. They're going to be utilized literally almost identical.
No, totally. That's something where I could also say that Greg Dortch, for all that we love him, it's going to be interesting to see if he does see an increase in snaps. Do we see that production go up, or essentially say, hey, he should be getting 6 or 7 targets a game. He's going to get about 70 to 80 yards per game and a touchdown. Or is he in his best spot as kind of that wide receiver 4 type, where he goes out there with kind of that slot in the wide receiver 3 position. He goes out behind a veteran. He'll be able to produce for a couple of games. But maybe when you do increase those snaps and suddenly he starts seeing a different level of teams and different coverages, it may be something that changes. That's something that we'll want to find out, but it is definitely the case where we're going to be watching this Cardinals team taking on some big time opponents. And so let's get into that here, Marcos. We can go over the Cardinals schedule dropped. We found out that they were not playing a single international game this year, which is something that I think a lot of Cardinals fans had maybe heard a little bit for the most part up in front. There's some, I know, rumors that they were going to be getting a game either in Germany or in London this year. Neither were true. The full schedule has dropped. Let's go over it, at least starting with week 1. They start on the road against the Bills in an early morning game, followed by 3 home games against Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, and the Commanders on September 29th. They are going to be facing a really interesting Commanders team that's rebuilding. You then have That's week 4. I was going to say it seemed weird. Week 2, for those listening, we're going left to right on the screen, up to down. They play the Los Angeles Rams at home, getting the Rams early on in the season. Your belief is that Cooper Kupp will probably be healthy at that point. It's going to be the Jared Verse versus Trey Benson game with a little bit of Braden Fisk tossed in. You then play another home game against the Lions, who made the NFC Championship game last year before the aforementioned Commanders game, which I've got circled in my calendar. That's going to be the Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray revenge game, as people have
already. That's what I was going to say.
As well as the Jaden Daniels ASU revenge game, because Jaden Daniels obviously transferred away from Arizona State University, goes to LSU, wins a Heisman with them. You then get a tough game back-to-back with 2 road games against the 49ers in October, another afternoon game, followed by a morning game on the road against the Packers. Now, interestingly, the Bills game and the Packers game, both of those early in the season, not in December, which means that the Cardinals' cold weather games that we had looked at potentially, they don't get as many as they possibly could have this year, which is really unique for this team because they've played a cold weather team at least almost every year, it feels like, such as they played a game, I know, last year against the Bears in the outdoor cold weather. They also played against the Eagles, I believe, on the road last year as well. Then they get their 1 national game on October 21st. It's a Monday night football game, and it's a Monday night doubleheader from the looks of it against the Chargers on ESPN+. So the game's going to be streaming. We've seen a lot more this year with games on Netflix on Christmas, games on Peacock in the playoffs last year. Like, the NFL ticket packages is all over the place trying to get people in to watch. So if you do want to get every NFL game in this year, it is getting a bit more expensive. I would assume that the Cardinals game, however, will probably still be on local television for those of you that are in the Arizona area. But for our national and out-of-state fans, definitely, I know that can be a pain sometimes for those who do want to get the schedule, look at all those games, or even making travel plans to say, hey, let's go to one of these nationally televised games. You don't get one of those on the road this year. That's the first seven games, and then you start a stretch that I think a lot of people looking at by this point of the season could be a pretty good one for the Arizona Cardinals. They have a tough road game against the Dolphins. You're talking about Miami being there in a warm weather stadium. Tua Tagovailoa is obviously a guy who has struggled in the cold in the past. You play the next of your rookie quarterbacks at home in Caleb Williams with those receivers and the Chicago Bears. And then followed by another home game against the New York Jets. Jets are in a ton of primetime games this year. We'll talk about that as far as some other schedule takeaways. The big question, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers at his age, will he be healthy by then? And you get a mid-bye week. It's not the early bye week, like as early as week five or week six. And it's not the late bye last year the Cardinals got where it was like the last possible week to get a bye. It was definitely a spot where they got no favors in 2023. And then you close out your season with games that actually are probably looking a little bit more optimistic. You get two games against the Seahawks in week 12 and 14, one on the road, one at home. You get a morning game on the road against the Vikings. Now, obviously, Vikings are in a stadium now, so not a cold weather game. And it's not Kirk Cousins anymore. It's going to be a Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy show. And then when you go back to the Seahawks after that, you go another home game against the Patriots, and I think this is a game I was hoping would be earlier in the season, kind of get them early before Drake May has a chance to warm up, or maybe you get them in that middle spot where May is starting over Jacoby Brissett if Brissett gets some of those early snaps. And then you finish with a game against the Carolina Panthers on the road. That one could be a colder, rainy game in December. And then, of course, the two divisional games are on the road against the Rams, followed by a home game against the dreaded 49ers. Marcos, when I look at this schedule, I see a lot of things that I like compared to last year's Cardinals schedule. What do you see with the Cardinals 2024 schedule?
Well, I like the stretch at the very end, so I'm not going to say that I'm not happy about the stretch after the bye week. That could be like the playoff. That could be the playoff push stretch, because I see about at least like four games that should be either winnable or at least obtainable and stuff. One of those games should be against the Rams, where we have to, like, the only way we get through the divisions, we have to beat our division rivals and whatnot. And the Rams have been, especially that Rams team, has been just difficult to be able to beat no matter what position they're in. So the Rams game is going to be very important. And this should be something Kyler Murray should be cycling, because I don't think he's been the Rams in like since 2021. So he needs to have that one in mind, and that's going to be probably either the playoff clinching one or the one that's going to either put us in position to be able to get to the playoffs once we get over to the 49ers. And the 49ers, that one's tough, because that's going to be at the end of the year, just like last year. As usual, we seem to always like play against the 49ers either our last game or second to last game, so they're always in our way. So that's why that Rams game is super important right there. For the beginning stretch, I mean, you have the Bills, which, by the way, that one's going to be it's going to be kind of awkward because of the fact that we have no idea what the Bills are doing and where they're at. Like, they have a lot of problems on offense that they have to figure out. Of course, you have your Rams game, second game of the week. You know, we will see. This is going to be a gauging game of where we're at in the NFC West. You got the Lions, who are going to be tough, because, of course, now we're talking about the Lions, who we struggle with, and they were, like, possibly, like, the team they've – had they not screwed up, they would be representing the NFC in the, you know, in the Super Bowl. Commanders, that one, I'm sure that's going to sell out. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people holding up their signs, and, like, I'm just going to say this right off the bat. Guys, don't sink down to, like, whatever your feelings are towards Cliff Kingsbury. Please be classy about it. I don't want to see any like Twitter or like you know, what is it called, TikToks and whatever, what do the kids use nowadays, of people just like being profane towards Cliff Kingsbury. Like, whether you believe it or not, like, Cliff Kingsbury is still a human, and if you're for him or you're against him, most of you guys are probably against him. He's still a human. He still is a person who, you know, came onto this organization. And I believe he should never have been given the reins as a head coach. But as a head coach, for what we did and what was given to him, that's an accomplishment. If you don't think so, then that's fine. We can disagree. But please be classy against the Commanders. Like, he's an offensive coordinator. And, you know, Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray now. And you know what? Cliff is not our head coach anymore, so we don't have to worry about him. 49ers, tough. Packers, that one's going to be a good game because of the fact that, like, the ascension of Jordan Love. I think that one's, like, wait, hold on. I think I'm
That's the road game.
Yeah, it's the road game.
That you are correct. That's, oof, and that going into Lambeau Field, it's a hallowed ground.
No, like my thing said, gonna my be thing pushed very, me out. That's why I'm over here, like, there we go. I'm using a Mac computer, so, like, it needed an update, and it pushed me out, and I'm over here talking to my wallpaper. So I'm like, where am I? So, yeah, that one, the Ascension and whatnot, the Chargers, that one, I'm going to circle that one for two reasons. First of all, I hate Jim Harbaugh. The guy is loud. The guy is whatever. And the Cardinals wanted him as a head coach. Never, ever, ever have a guy like that in your building. For one, he will take over the franchise, which is something that Michael Bidwell will not allow anyway. Number two, I think he's a fake. I think this whole circumstance of him being, you know, the winning the Natty, how long was he over there in Michigan? And how many times and chances has he been in a position to be able to thrust this team in? Like, he's an NFL coach that came down big name from the college ranks, couldn't win in recruiting. And you're telling me that his entire tenure there, he got one Natty, of course. And everybody's heralding him as, like, oh, you know, Cardinals fans, like, shame on you for wanting him as a head coach. That guy was a nemesis to the Cardinals for the longest time.
That's true.
The guy was loud. The guy was one of those guys that, like, you know, well, I don't know if cheap shot or not, but he was a nemesis to the Cardinals. Thank goodness that, like, you know, he was already he was given the job with the Chargers. I did not want to hear any more banter about this guy wanting to be people wanting him to be the head coach last year. You know what he would have done to Kyler Murray? If you guys think that this would have been a good relationship, it wouldn't have been. Trust me. He has the typecast of a quarterback. He wants a big, tall, you know, somewhat mobile statue, but he wants that big arm guy, and he wants, you know, to obviously work on the offensive line because he has a good ground game. So his offense would have been great, but that would have been a nightmare for him and Kyler Murray to be in the same room. Because if you think like the criticism would have been flying with him, he would have, like, pointing the finger, he would have been pissed whether it would have been his fault or not. Trust me, you did not want him as your head coach. Let's hope that ends up as a win, because I haven't forgotten those years. So that one, yeah, that's going to be my revenge game. Dolphins, you know, Dolphins are a different team. They are beatable, though. So this whole movement of, like, super motion taking over the NFL, they're beatable. So I believe we should have that as a win. If we don't win that game, and let's just say our record is below 500 at that point, we are doomed. We are doing bad. The Bears, Caleb Williams, obviously we have that connection. Who were the Cardinals going to draft this past year? Was it going to be Caleb or was it going to be Kyler? So this is going to be one of those good gauging games. We'll see where Caleb is at this part of his career, and people will feel better if, let's just say, the Bears are just horrendous. Caleb Williams is looking like a rookie, and they're, you know, and I will see the tweets already about how thank God we didn't move off of him. But this is going to be a good gauging game, and, you know, whatnot. Jets, whatever. It's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. Who cares about him? And, of course, I just already talked about.
It's going to be crazy to see if he's healthy by that Jets game, because as we saw last year, he wasn't able to make it through four snaps. If he is playing and is healthy, that's going to be one of those games where if the Cardinals, let's say the Cardinals get off to a hotter start than normal, that could be one of those games that you could potentially, like, start seeing people paying attention if you're able to knock off the Jets with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. And it's also heading into their bye week, of course, which, as we all said, the bye week is one of those weeks where you want to make sure that people get back, get healthy, don't screw up during the bye week with anything off field too.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if we're looking at 500 at this point, or one game over 500, I think after the bye week, we're sitting pretty. We're good. So, I know we're going to go over our wins and losses prediction, or we're going to do that eventually. But I would say that, like, if we're at 500 by the bye week, we're looking at a pretty, it's going to look bright for us.
Absolutely. Let's go and finish up at least with some of the thoughts on the close of the season. What do you think about the stretch after the bye week? Because I think a lot of fans, when the schedule dropped, said brutal opening, some winnable games, some maybe less winnable games in the middle. But after that bye week, you're going to have Geno Smith and the Seahawks, a new head coach in Mike McDonald, a rookie quarterback. You get two rookie quarterbacks in those four games, and then a young quarterback in Bryce Young, who they've got some pieces added, especially on the offensive line to run the ball, a new running back, some guards. Xavier Leggett was drafted at the end of the first round. But that's a spot where you've got a veteran quarterback in Kyler Murray against a bunch of younger quarterbacks and, to be honest, a resetting team in the Seahawks. I think that if you can go 4-1 down that stretch, that would be your best case scenario. Obviously, you'd always want to say go undefeated, but if you're able to split with Seattle, be able to kind of pick one up, steal one from the Vikings with the young quarterback potentially on the road. Or maybe, you know, things are different. You can beat the Seahawks twice and then go over to Carolina, and we'll see if Bryce Young, how he even looks at that point. But that's one of those places, I think, where the Cardinals could pick up some wins around that part of the schedule before the end of the season against those two playoff teams in the Rams and the Niners.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two, the Vikings and the Patriots, has to be a must-win, plus the Panthers. There's no way we're going to make it to the playoffs if we don't win those three games, because as much as I want to say that we are at the level of the Seahawks, we don't know that yet, and we don't know if what level we are against the Rams. This is – we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have four division games after the bye week, and at this point, after the bye week, we're going to know – we're going to be able to gauge where our team is at, like – and that is a brutal start. The first three games are – the Cardinals could start 0-3 in this situation. I would hope that wouldn't be the case. But the toughest opponent on that three-game stretch is the Lions, and they're in the back end. So if you steal one game, let's just say you beat either the Rams, who you should be able to beat, or the Bills, which I believe that's a better – that's a more winnable game than the Rams is. And that's crazy to hear, but the Bills are having their own little turmoil when it comes to the offense, and the defense is kind of shaky. You steal one of those games and you're going against the Lions. The Lions is a loss. 1-2, that's not bad, because then you have a winnable game against the Commanders, which could start you at 2-2. So that's going to be crucial to try to get off, you know, pretty much get off your feet. But if they lose all three of those games, oh my God, that's not going to look good. Questions will be asked, especially about this coaching staff. And depending on how the players look, it could be a, you know, great, or it could be a disaster.
Yeah, and I think how you lose or win those games will be very crucial to see. Let's go and kind of go game by game with some of these win-loss predictions for the most part, Marcos, because I do think that as Cardinals fans, we want this team to obviously do as good as possible, but I think there is always a balance, because if you're going to go out there and say, I think the Cardinals are going to win 13 games this year, and you take a look at how things have been in the past, you look at like the Kurt Warner years, they got to 9-7, got to finally 10 wins. The Bruce Arians years, they did start off at 10 wins, and then they were able to get up to 15. And then you see kind of things ebb and flow with health each year. Before we get into the season, let's just do a quick flyover of the Cardinals preseason. So in the preseason, Cardinals will open up at home against the New Orleans Saints, the Indianapolis Colts week 2, and then week 3 in what now is kind of that fourth meaningless preseason game where all the backups play, guys are going for roster spots. It'll be against Sean Payton, their new quarterback, Bo Nix, and the Denver Broncos. And as far as it goes, Marcos, I know that we don't look at preseason for win-loss records, but I think when you take a look at some of these teams, the biggest thing I can say is against the Saints, you're probably going to say that the Saints have a bit better depth. The Cardinals, you could say maybe some of the starters have a little bit more higher upside with Kyler Murray versus Derek Carr. Obviously, there's another Ohio State receiver there. This is, I think, the game where we'll be watching that Kyler to Marv connection. We'll be watching, does Tip Ryman out there with the starters blocking as a tight end? Do we see Trey Benson get a lot of carries? Or are they going to treat him as a starter for the most part? And who is going to be the guy who seems to be falling down the roster spot? Is it going to be where we see Zay Jones out there? Do we see him having to kind of compete? Or is he going to be like playing with one of the starters? Week 2 against the Colts, this is the Shane Steichen game, where I think that they will stay over for maybe a couple of days and have joint practices. We saw that with the Vikings last year. That was the joint practice session that basically spelled the end of Colt McCoy's career, because we watched some highlights, or I should say highlights in quotation marks there, from those camps, because Colt McCoy just could not deliver the ball with good timing and with good velocity to his receivers. That's going to be a fun week where you get to compete against a different setup, because the Colts are a team that honestly, like, they are going to be pushing for the same spot as the Cardinals are. They've got a young quarterback. They go out and drafted a corner and a wide receiver this year. They almost made the playoffs a year ago, have Jonathan Taylor. This will be a good test, I think, for the Cardinals' new look run defense. Cardinals did a ton of pushing on the defensive tackle spot. They get another Mike linebacker in Mac Wilson. And then, of course, the Broncos game. This is one of those spots where what I want to see in that game is just show me that your depth guys are better than the Broncos guys. Who's going to be quarterback three for this team? Is Clayton Tune going to be a practice squad guy? Do we end up seeing at the Cardinals with Desmond Ridder look like he's going to be able to be a capable backup? Like, that's all I think we're looking for. Any thoughts on the preseason? It's going to be only one home game for fans this preseason up against the Saints. Unfortunately, the good news is that we get a kind of make up for it with a lot of home games up front for the fans. Marcos, any preseason thoughts or one thing you'd be looking for the Cardinals this preseason?
I'm not sure. Like, do you think that I don't think Kyler Murray would take any preseason snaps. I think it's going to be all like, this is going to be a situation where our backups are going to be obviously out there. And I think Kyler Murray is just going to, you know, they're not going to play him during the preseason. What do you think?
I could see maybe one series against the Saints at home. And it makes sense, too.
That, like, could be true.
The home game. I think you'll also see him play most of the snaps week two against Indy. We did also see that Colt McCoy last season didn't play, like, any of the preseason, but he just was not healthy enough to play. They were trying to see what they could do with him. And then I think week three, that's the one where I don't even know if Desmond Ridder starts that game or if it's just going to be the quarterback three, quarterback four. If it's a competition, we don't know if there's any making the roster that Tali Tagovailoa has been able to do or not. They may bring in a different guy by then. That's one of the places where I think if there's a spot that you'll want to look for, it would be how do the Cardinals starters look up in week two, because they'll be going up against Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor. If they see their starters going, even for just one or two series, we'll see how they play. Part of it is we don't know what Jonathan Gannon is going to do. They were competitive last preseason, and everyone can remember, hey, they had the Cardinals with, I think it was, David Blau came in, won the game kind of in that pushing. You saw, like, them just egging everyone on the sidelines, competing. All the starters were like, go, guys. They drove down, got that game-winning play in preseason. You're like, okay, it feels like that was last year's Cardinals coming together moment where it realized everything was up against them. They were still going to go out there and compete. That showed up in the regular season. I think that's what we'll want to watch for in the preseason. And now let's go in with week one against the Buffalo Bills. And this is one of those games where, Marcos, there's pros and there's cons, because the Bills are in a spot where Stephon Diggs is off the roster. You take a look at that new offense and there's some questions, at least, because they're going to be relying on the likes of Keon Coleman. They'll be relying on a Marquise Valdes-Scantling, a Curtis Samuel. They also are going to be having a lot of tight end play with Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. They became a very run-heavy offense with Josh Allen last year, hardly threw the ball to Stephon Diggs. He still is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Their defense, on the other hand, has gotten a lot older. They still have Greg Rousseau and Ed Oliver. Matt Milano, at least, has still been there in the middle of their defense. But they don't really have another cornerback that's there on the roster. We'll see if Kyir Elam can step up. They were a team that was pretty solid and stout against the run, and their week one last season, before we forget, was against the New York Jets, in which they lost to Zach Allen. Now, granted, the Jets defense did an incredible job, but I think this is a good first test for the Cardinals, because I think you can see it both ways. You can say, hey, Cardinals are playing Josh Allen. They're going to be up against a good rushing attack. Cardinals were dead last against the run last year. Maybe that was just the two Rams games in particular. They've added a bunch of defensive linemen. This will be a good test for how they play a mobile quarterback, how they'll play the run, because those receivers, they may not scare anyone. What would scare me, Marcos, I think that this is the game where if there's a spot where the Cardinals lose, it would be the linebackers for the Cardinals against some of those tight ends. That could be a big mismatch where you just wonder, can the Cardinals keep up with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox as far as the short passes, being able to stop the run? Can they get pressure on the likes of a Josh Allen? I think that the positives for the Arizona Cardinals is this is a Bills team that even as we look at them, they're kind of in a soft reset. They're having to move on from a veteran receiver to young receivers. They are going to be a team that has probably what we've seen for the most part, going to taste a new rushing Cardinals attack with the likes of a Kyler Murray there as well. And if they can get matchups, this is a Bills defense, which really, you take a look at their starters right now at cornerback, you're like, okay, we've got a Christian Benford on one side. You've got a Taron Johnson, Yakir Elam, and it's Rasul Douglas. You take a Marvin Harrison Jr. If this is a spot where Marvin can come out and be that guy out of the gate, you could talk about an awesome matchup where the Cardinals are able to have a balanced attack and maybe catch the Bills a bit by surprise here and play some mistake-free football. I've got this first game back and forth. I've got this one as a loss because it's on the road. You're talking about at least taking on Josh Allen. This wouldn't shock me if the Cardinals come out and are able to get a win. I just think that, like, realistically, looking at it back and forth, that feels like the Cardinals rushing attack, until we're able to see them go out there and stop the run competitively, I think they'll be better. But this is a game that I have the Bills getting it to Josh Allen, being able to go down the fourth quarter. I've got them with a win for game one in the season. What do you have for the first game and the season opener for the Cardinals? Win or a loss?
Just the fact that I have to even like think about it, like it's a great position to be in, where last year I would have said this is a loss. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that it's going to be weird, but I think the Cardinals might shock and actually win this game. I thought last year when they went against the Pittsburgh Steelers over there in Pittsburgh, that's going to be a definite loss, and it became a win. And as long as it's a situation where as long as the Bills keep letting the Cardinals hang around, they might, you know, surprise them. They might come up with some sort of have a prediction, maybe like a defensive stop where they either get a interception or a fumble recovered, and then they're in position to win the game. So I would put this as a win, just not a very like crazy win. It'd probably be like a 13-15 win, like 15-13 or 16-13 win, where like both offenses are trying to figure each other out or figure themselves out. So it's the first game of the season, but the defenses will keep the game close and whatnot. That's what I would think. And I would think the defense would surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I think we'll take a look at for the most part. Is I do think, like you said, this is a matchup that I could totally see the Cardinals winning. This is something that would be, like you said, kind of that kind of big moment for Jonathan Gannon and company to be able to go out against a really good playoff team and being able to have a lot of those young players go out and make plays. I still have this one as a loss. Do you have this one as a win or a loss for week one as we kind of go through the totals?
I have it as a win.
All right. So I've got a win for week two against the Rams. Now, we know the Cardinals haven't done a great job against the Rams pretty much in the history of Sean McVay being there. The Rams have had a brutal rushing attack. Last year, they ran for probably, I think they're still running against the Arizona Cardinals as far as the run defense is concerned. It was a huge problem for them. The biggest thing, I think, in this year is that what we've seen with the Rams is that there's two things you want to look for. One of them, of course, is how healthy are they at the time. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua together are pretty good. Obviously, it's maybe not the best wide receiver room in the NFL, but Matthew Stafford is just very productive when it comes to when he has targets, he can get the ball to. They also have seen how the Rams this year have a second thing, which is they're going to be trusting two rookie players, and I think it is last year they had, as far as their right defensive end and Kobe Turner, who had a decent season. Aaron Donald has been retired now. I believe that he's going to stay retired. He had talked about it for too long. There's not been any sort of hints about him coming back out. Some people have said, hey, maybe, you know, the likes of J.J. Watt would come out of retirement, maybe for the Texans if it was there. You've seen some guys say that. Doesn't seem to be the case with him. They're going to have two rookies, a rookie edge rusher in Jared Verse and a rookie defensive end in Braden Fisk. I think that this is a spot where we could see some guys running the ball back and forth. This is one of those places where if you take a look at it, if the Cardinals are able to have a good rushing attack, you take a look at the Rams and they've got Tre'Davious White coming off of injury. Darius Williams is fine. This is one of those places where I think what we could hope for is that without Aaron Donald in there, we could see the Rams defense take a much bigger step back than I think a lot of people are expecting. A good example of that, of course, is you take a look at a great defensive player, like when the Cardinals lost Calais Campbell, he went to the Jaguars. Cardinals defense took a major step back. We also saw with Chandler Jones, when he left the Cardinals, he had not had a great season. The Cardinals had Hassan Reddick come in and he was able to produce. And then the following year, once it became very clear, like, oh yeah, this is just, he's just not playing at least there the same level. We got to see the Cardinals defense took another step back. This is something that I think that is going to be one of those games where I think the Cardinals are going to recognize you don't want to have an 0-2 start in the NFL. It may be that the Cardinals do start 0-2 in the NFL. We've seen teams who start 0-2 are less likely to make the playoffs. Cardinals are obviously going to be pushing for that. It really comes down to, I think, in this spot, can you steal one of these two opening games, either Buffalo or Los Angeles? I have them stealing the Rams game because I think that they'll split with the Rams this year. You'll have a home game, season opener for all of those. And I think that the Cardinals can steal this one in week two. Marcos, do you have the Cardinals winning or losing this game?
Unfortunately, I have them losing because the Rams, for some reason, seem to, like, schematic-wise, they have figured this out when it comes to the offense. So the defense is really going to have to do what they have to stop the run. That's just, that just comes down to it. We're going to know by week one if this team has taken a step forward or if they've taken a step back or they're in the same area, which is basically being one of the worst run defenses in the league year by year. So this game is like, you know, they beat us just by being able to, like, control the ball. They do ball control and then they're able to, like, run the ball down the Cardinals' throat and win that time of possession game. It's always been how the Cardinals have lost to the Rams and whatnot. The only time that they don't lose to the Rams is when they are able to get up, like, fast enough. Like, if they're able to get themselves a good lead against this Rams team, then they take the option out of their hands to be able to run the ball, and they just have to, you know, beat us by being able to throw the ball on a down by down basis, we have a good chance of being able to win that game. It's just, the problem is I haven't seen it with the exception of, like, what was it, like, in 2022, we beat them with Colt McCoy. And I think it was the year before we beat them with Kyler Murray, and those two, the Kyler Murray game, that was because we built up a lead and then we were able to, you know, take that run away. But at any other circumstance, we fall behind. They, you know, they, Sean McVay runs like a similar system to the, you know, the Shanahan type of motion heavy run. And he's, I think he was like second in the league when it came to motion. So a lot of motion was implemented into their offense. So if we have to be able to control that, we have to be able to have our guys play on these wide receivers and not off the wide receivers being like 7 or 8 yards off the ball after line of scrimmage, because that's how they feast on us. They feast on us playing off ball defense and a lot of zone coverage defense. So we just have to get people to play man on man. We have to punch them hard on defense, and on offense we have to sustain drives, try to keep the ball away from them as much as possible. So run a balanced attack and they could win this game. But because I haven't seen that, I'm going to say it's a loss.
Yeah, that's one where if you can get Matthew Stafford also to make some mistakes, that may be one of the biggest things that we have seen, is that that does happen, at least it seems like, almost every other year. I'm very curious also to see exactly if the Cardinals this early can catch the Rams defense, all those young players, by surprise. Either way, you're going to be heading into week three at home against the Lions. And this is one of those games in which it's very unique because Jared Goff just does not lose to the Cardinals, as weird as it is to see. He just goes out there and has won pretty much every game he's played against the Cardinals when he's been with the Rams. He's won when he even moved over, I believe, to the Lions. But this is a unique spot because that, in a lot of cases, is not just the Sean McVay being the case, but he did lose his very first game to the Cardinals in which they routed. That was the one game, I think, to finish the 2016 season, unless I'm mistaken. This is a game where I think you compare back and forth with the defenses, with Ben Johnson calling the game. This is one of those games where I think that it's the which coach can motivate their players more. We saw that essentially the Lions really have struggled in being able to contain Kyler Murray when he runs on the ground. Their defense, of course, has gotten Terry and Arnold in there. That's going to be a huge matchup. I have this as a game in which if the Cardinals can get Jared Goff off of his spot and be able to force a mistake and then stay tight on their end, I think that they could win this game. But I have this one as a loss, but I think it'll be a close loss because I think that this is going to be one of those games in which you're at home, you're going to be having at least a lot of people who are super hyped about the Detroit game. You're going to be going up against someone. This is going to be kind of, I think, your, hey, who's going to pick the Cardinals heading into this game this week? Nobody's going to pick them. We saw last year when the Cardinals had the odds against them against the Cowboys, they're able to catch them by surprise. I just think that this Lions team is just better than what we saw with that Cowboys team for the most part. I've got this one as a loss. What do you have for week three against the Lions, Marcos?
Yeah, definitely the Lions are ascending. I have that as a loss. And it's just sad that to see what trajectory we're taking versus what trajectory they were taking. So it's going to be hard to pick that as a win, especially since they are considered like a Super Bowl contender. And, you know, we'll see by this point, if they are, if they're 3-0, oh my God, it's going to be, okay, this is that's, just hopefully.
Yeah. I was going to say, hopefully it could be close. Cardinals being 3-0 at this point would definitely be a arrival moment for them. That would be a big thing. I don't think that they'll be 3-0. However, I do think heading into week four that they will be able to get a win against the Washington Commanders. They'll be at home. They have three home games after their road opener this year to be able to start. And I think that this is a good place for them to be in because the Commanders, there's no other team that seemed to be as bad as the Cardinals ultimately last year were. The only team, of course, at least that was worse than the Commanders was the Panthers. Cardinals with Josh Dobbs were arguably one of the worst teams in the NFL. The Commanders were actually, though, for a stretch, they were a team that were, yeah, exactly. They were a team that if they had not beaten the Cardinals in week one, they had a good chance to end up getting that number one overall pick. Instead, that goes to Chicago. They're really unique because this is a team that on offense, you say they're going to be having a great situation for Jaden Daniels to walk into. Cliff Kingsbury is obviously a good running attack. He's a air raid guy who still run the ball, be able to use his quarterback as part of that running element. They've got at least a couple of guys who are going to be decent. Their tackle situation is going to be unique because they've got Brandon Coleman. They have two, with Andrew Wiley and Cornelius Lucas, not as great, but they do have a veteran center coming over from Dallas. Sam Cosmi is a veteran guard. The offensive line for them is not great. The receivers, however, you've got two studs in Terry McLaurin. You've got Jahan Dotson, who is a first-round pick there. And then you got Jamison Crowder, Olamide Zaccheaus in the slot, and a guy who we actually are familiar with in Damir Bird coming back. He's still in the league, played with Kyler in his rookie year for the most part. The thing that you look for is that defense, Marcos, because they do not have edge rushers. They traded all of those guys away last year, one to the Niners in Chase Young, one to the Bears in Montez Sweat. And they don't have very many guys. Like they've got Bobby Wagner starting as their Mike linebacker, and he's, you know, looking at the tail end of his career. They draft a rookie in Mike Sandristil. They're hoping that they'll be able to get back a healthy corner in the likes of, I think it was, who was the guy who was on IR last year who finished? I know it was their first round pick. This is a brutal looking Chigozie Anyusim. That's who the draft pick was. This defense, Marcos, outside of Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen, looks very much like a Cardinals defense last year where they have just got a bunch of rookies starting. This is one of those places where I think what you're talking about is a rebuilding team with a rookie quarterback going up against what you're hoping is a veteran quarterback in Kyler Murray. I've got this one as a win for the Cardinals. I think that Jaden Daniels, we'll see how they manage him as far as running the ball. Terry McLaurin, obviously a big test for the Cardinals corners and Max Melton. I just think that at the end of the day, that the Cardinals are going to be able to find guys who can get the edge on some of those big defensive tackles, and they're going to find guys who can make plays against that secondary, whether it's with Marvin Harrison Jr. or the likes of Trey McBride. I've got this as a win, and I've got the Cardinals at this spot starting 2-2. What do you have for them this year?
I have them losing to Cliff. No, I'm just joking. No, I have them winning. I think they're. Hey, this is has to be a, almost a as for sure of a win as they can get when it comes to their first four games. And it's mostly because this Washington Commanders team, the Commies, as we like to call them, they're figuring themselves out. So whenever you have a situation where they're figuring themselves out, they had the number two overall pick last year. They were that bad, and they're trying to figure out what they're doing with the new staff, new quarterback. You know, it's a defensive-minded head coach, and, of course, Cliff Kingsbury, where he belongs as an offensive coordinator. They have a lot of things they have to figure out. By week four, they probably would have figured that out, but it's just their defense is not impressive. That's what I'm just going to come out and say, because they did give up a lot. So you have to see what they can develop, but the defense was what everything hinged on, and now it's not the case. And on offense, I mean, they have a few weapons, but not enough to be able to say, hey, this is gonna be a high caliber offense. So I have this as a loss. You have to go into this game and you have to win this game if you want to give yourself a chance to be 2-2, just like you mentioned, which is what it's looking like at this point. This has to be a win, and if it's not, we're in trouble.
Yeah, the biggest thing I think for Cardinals fans, I don't think that you freak out at 1-3 at all, because you've had a brutal opening schedule. Your first six games are among some of the toughest in the NFL. A 1-4 opening would not be shocking, especially if you win one game, maybe even if it is the Commanders game that is, for some reason, a loss. I think that most Cardinals fans would look at that and would circle that to say that you want that to be a win regardless, because you do also want to say, like, team starts 0-4, you're going to be looking at, even if you win games on the back end, you're going to be essentially saying, hey, this is not a playoff team this year. They can win and pick some games up, get some experience, but you'd be having to look at 2025. I think that this game against the San Francisco 49ers on the road is a loss. For me, the Niners are still in a place where there could be a surprise where the Niners end up actually taking a step back. We've seen how they've got guys in Debo and Brandon Ayuk who've been able to be healthy. We've seen Christian McCaffrey has gotten a ton of carries over the last few years. George Kittle's getting a little bit up there in age. I just don't think that this is one of those places where you're able to see the Cardinals. I think that guys will still eat healthy enough. This would be one of the two games where if you can kind of make your arrival moment and steal one, it would be kind of like when the Cardinals went into Seattle and were able to steal one 13-10 away from the Legion of Boom and Russell Wilson. You would probably need, at least in this regard, to have the Cardinals be in a spot where guys are either not as healthy, guys are struggling a bit more. Maybe Brock Purdy is suddenly having some issues, but they still are going to have Nick Bosa on their side. They still have Javon Hargrave. You're still talking about one of the better overall offensive rosters with Trent Williams in the NFL. Until we actually see the Niners kind of hit that cliff, I think that we have to be able to say that the Cardinals probably will not be able to beat the Niners twice in a season for sure. Maybe you can start talking about a split. This is one where I have this one as just a loss, because I think that you're in a spot during the season where you're on the road against the Niners. And I think that this is one of those places where if you're going to be looking to try to pick one up and surprise them, I don't know if it's going to be one of these games as early in the season, because I just don't think the Cardinals, as far as player for player, are on a spot where they can compete with the Niners just yet. Without the Niners having, you know, things can obviously change, but without significant injuries with some top players being out, I've got the Cardinals losing this game week five as well.
Yeah, this is, I hate to give this as a loss, because I know that the 49ers, we've surprised them before, and we stole that win in 2020, first game of the season. They just came off of a Super Bowl loss, and we had no chance of winning that game, according to, like, the, you know, what people were saying. Kyler Murray took over that game with his feet. It was wonderful to see how they were able to, like, not only do that, but on offense, but on defense, getting those stops and whatnot. That was awesome. If they had a game where the defense does step up in this game in particular, we have a chance. But unfortunately, because the 49ers have just gone to the Super Bowl and have been up there contention wise, and it doesn't look like they're losing any pieces. It's unfortunate, but I have to give this a loss, and I don't want to, because I believe, as crazy as it is, that the Cardinals can win this game. Like, officially, I have to say a loss, but I can say they can win this game. But it's hard to do that.
Yeah, that's one of the places that I'm very curious to see how it goes as far as just how they match up, because you know you're going to be playing them twice. You'll be playing them week 18. And we'll see where everything is by that point, because again, if the Niners go on another roll like they did last season, maybe they're going to be resting players by that final week. Maybe they're not, and maybe you can kind of catch them in a good spot. I know that that's something that Cardinals fans are anxious about. One thing I think that we'll also be anxious about is, what do the Green Bay Packers look like this year? Because Jordan Love, in his first year, looked like he was a ascending guy. You get to play the NFC North this season. Packers, there's probably going to be four. I could see four good teams in the NFC North this year, which would be crazy. Packers are going to be at Lambeau. It's an early morning game. This is one of those places where I've got this game for the Arizona Cardinals as a loss. And I think that it's not something where I think I want them to lose. This is a game where I think normally during the week I might pick them to win. I think this is one of those games where they just go on the road. The Packers are able to be out there and stay tight. You just kind of make one or two issues. Maybe you have like a rookie, something goes on. I think that this is just one of those games where it's a difficult place to have to go and play at in Lambeau every time. I've got this one as a loss. It would not shock me for the most part if the Cardinals were able to go in here and get a win on the road. I just think that in the space of where things are, it just wouldn't shock me if this ends up being one of those games which Matt LaFleur, with a good playing Jordan Love, is able to go out there and get this win, and the Cardinals just aren't quite able to come to play. You've got to pick some losses during the season that may go against your expectations, the same way you kind of pick some wins that may go against what you think happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I have this as a loss as well. Unfortunately, Jordan Love has become the best back foot, flat-footed thrower in the NFL. It's just crazy how the one thing changed the trajectory of that team, and it had to do mostly with how he throws the ball and what position he throws the ball. And because the fact that the Green Bay Packers have somehow just done it over and over and over again with, like, producing a all-pro type quarterback or Pro Bowl type quarterback year, like tenure after tenure, it's just crazy to believe that the Green Bay Packers are like this good again. I have to have this as a loss as well, and I don't want to. Same thing with the 49ers. I believe both of these teams are winnable, but it's hard for me to pick the Cardinals to win because of the fact of how both of these teams, you know, being in that they were in the playoffs, are ascending. So it's hard for me to pick them. Plus, they got rid of their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, they don't have some of the same areas as far as with running back. And then it's going to be very interesting to see where the season is for the most part at that point. Let's talk about the national game on ESPN Plus against the Los Angeles Chargers. This one, Marcos, I think comes down to, can the Cardinals go out there and be able to run the ball on this Chargers team and be able to take advantage of the fact that the Chargers, they want to run the ball with Jim Harbaugh. They want to basically run the ball, and they want to kind of do a little bit as far as with play action. But this is an interesting spot because this is a Chargers team that's going to be expected to be able to deliver very quickly. But then when you look at their overall roster, you're like, all right, let's see. We've got Quentin Johnston and Ladd McConkey as receivers. Quentin Johnston looked awful last year. Can he take that next step? Can McConkey, a smaller guy, be able to stay a bit healthy? And then on the defensive side, it's all about Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. We know that Derwin James is a good safety back here. This is one of those different games where I think what we'll end up seeing for the most part is that this is going to be tit for tat, coach against coach. I think that in this case, I would give the Cardinals, honestly, an overall edge because I think the Cardinals' receivers are slightly better. I think that the Cardinals' offensive line is comparable to where the Chargers are. I think Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt obviously are better in those regards. But when you talk about the Cardinals being able to get a Paris Johnson, being able to add some different dynamic running backs here with the injured Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins on the other side, I think this could be a game where James Conner actually is able to go out there and the Cardinals are able to get a win on this Monday Night Football game. I think this is kind of that national wake-up game for the Cardinals, similar to how the Cowboys game last year, people are like, oh, okay, Cardinals, look, you have my attention. But I think last year they're like, oh, the Cowboys blew it. This year, I think the people will say the Cardinals went out there and beat Jim Harbaugh. Do you have this as a win or a loss for the Cardinals in their one national televised game or one streaming game, we can say, this year?
Now, I have it as a win, and it should not be. This is probably the weakest team that we should be going up against, other than the Commanders, because when you look at it roster to roster, they have Justin Herbert. That's the guy's elite. I just can't say like enough about like his arm strength and the amount of hits that he takes. Unfortunately, that's why they tried to give him that's why they gave him Joe Alt. But he has really no targets when it comes to receiving. And this is one thing that has plagued his career, is that his former offensive coordinator plus his receivers, no speed anywhere with his wide receivers, short like throws time and time again, stick routes. Mm-hmm. So Justin Herbert maybe will ascend better with the Jim Harbaugh implementing a different type of system, running the ball, doing more of the ground game and ground domination, but I'm not impressed by their weapons on the offensive side. On their defensive side, it's still like we're going into year three, and Asante Samuel Jr. hasn't been that stalwart yet. Like that guy that's like, hey, that's a Pro Bowl. He had some good games and he played at an all-pro level in some of these games, but he still hasn't been that stalwart. Like Asante Samuel Jr. is like, oh, wait, we have to be careful and we have to scheme around him. He still hasn't taken that leap forward, and there's question marks on that. So the three players that, like, you know, Khalil Mack being still a beast somehow, Joey Bosa is not healthy every single year, so you're going to give him that he's going to miss games. And you have Derwin James, who plays that Buda Baker, Tyrann Mathieu, the thing that, like, I felt like they should have started Isaiah Simmons in, is putting him in that. That guy isn't an all-around impact player that can like ascend their defense, because that position itself can only cover so many holes on the defense. He'd be great if they had corners and linebackers that can cover, but if you only have like maybe one other person, Asante Samuel Jr., who's a good coverage guy, there's not much to say. So yeah, this has to be a win. This has to be a win. If they lose against this team and they lose against Jim Harbaugh, and I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, yeah, this has to be a win.
Okay, so then let's go over the next three games. This is one of the stretches that's going to be really interesting for the Cardinals. You get a road game in Miami. Cardinals reportedly could maybe stay over there, go over and practice early, stay on the East Coast, and then be prepared for that morning time for the game. You get two of the fastest receivers in the NFL. You get Tua being able to be there at home. They're having to undergo a pretty sizable retooling. There's no Vic Fangio there anymore for the Dolphins. You're talking about, this is a team that lost their top guy. I believe it was, it's not Christian Wilkins necessarily, I think. Oh, no, I think it was, at least. He went to the Raiders for the most part, so you're having to kind of go out there with Neville Gallimore, Deshaun Hand, you got Jalen Phillips in there. Your best players, honestly, are going to be Kendall Fuller. We'll see how healthy Jordan Ramsey is. Bradley Chubb, of course, has had injury issues before. This is a team with the Miami Dolphins that has a very creative head coach in Mike McDaniel, that has a killer rushing attack, and then is able to put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in different places for success. They're also in a win now year. They go out and sign Odell Beckham Jr. to be like their wide receiver three. I think this game ultimately comes down to how does your defense look? Because Miami will be able to, at home, I believe, get explosive plays in the run and in the pass. I think that this is one of those games where what you're hoping for as a Cardinals fan is that this can be a shootout, that the Cardinals are able to go tit for tat and go back with the Miami Dolphins. This is, I think, a more winnable game than people would think. You think back to the Cardinals-Dolphins game in which the Cardinals last time they played Tua, having all of those different players in 2019, I think it was, that they had the missed field goal. Dolphins ended up going through and winning that game. I think this could be a shootout. I have the Cardinals falling in this shootout. I think if it was at home, you'd have probably a decent shot against the Dolphins, even with it being indoors. But I've got this game as a loss before they head into playing the number one pick of the Bears. Marcos, what do you have for the Cardinals-Dolphins game?
I'm going to go ahead and go with the, I'm going to go with the win actually. The only reason why I'm going to go with the win is because, the Dolphins, like they have that scheme, of course, you know, the heavy motion and whatnot, but their little issue is, you know, with all that motion is playing pure man coverage. So actually, you know what, now that I'm thinking about it, it should actually be a loss, because from what I've seen from Gannon so far, and Nick Rallis, they do play a lot of zone coverage, and so yeah, it's hard for me to.
It's a hard game to pick, honestly.
Mm-hmm. It is, because it is a winnable game, but like it's gonna come down to X's and O's, and I still don't trust the X's and O's on the defensive side. So the offensive side, which was more established, that's, if you could stop that, then great. But yeah, I don't want to pick it as a loss, but I'm gonna have to pick it as a loss.
Yeah, all right. So we've got that one there as a loss. Now let's move on, talk about the Chicago Bears. This is, I think, a game that's going to come down to, can the Cardinals get a lead? Because we know, at least, we've seen Caleb Williams be able to run around, to be able to make plays, some crazy throws. I think that he's got a huge amount of people around him with his supporting cast. The Bears are pretty much loaded up on the defensive side of the ball as well. Here's what I think this game will come down to. I've got this game for the most part as a win for the Cardinals, because I think that when you're talking about a rookie quarterback, even though he may be kind of starting to hit some of his stride, things may be closer, I think that the Cardinals have a slight edge in this game when it comes to the head coach himself. And I think that's one of the places with Matt Eberflus, is he's got talent. We saw the Bears do pretty well last year. I think that they're going to be in a place where if the Cardinals can come out and surprise the Bears up front by being able to run the ball up the middle on them, kind of take some of those top pass rushers out of it, maybe you're able to see kind of some games that are able to get their tight end or Marvin open. I think that there's a good chance they could come out and have outcoached the Bears from the front. And then when you put Caleb Williams into a place where he has to throw, maybe you can get him to run around, make some mistakes. Maybe he hasn't adjusted as much to some of the NFL speed. You think of Kyler Murray in his first year, he ran around a lot and would get tackled for some major sacks. I think that this being a home game indoors is something where I think you can probably do just enough to be able to get by. And it would not shock me overall if the Cardinals are able to use their running backs, and this turns into a game where you get to see Trey Benson be able to actually kind of get a few more carries in this game. It would be a spot that I could see this as another type of win-loss game similar, but I've got this one going in the Cardinals' favor as a win. What do you have?
I have them as a win, because same thing, they're figuring themselves out. They have a really good defense, so that's not going to look good on you know, against the, on our part, their defense is better than our defense. It's just how it is thus far, but their offense is still figuring things out, and it's going to be a rookie quarterback, you know, coming into the league, getting used to the speed, like you mentioned. So, unless this guy comes out, like, you know, like crazy firing all cylinders, this should be a win for the Cardinals.
Absolutely. Let's go over now the Jets in week 10. That's kind of about the halfway point for the most part of the season, since the Cardinals have their bye next week. This is honestly, Marcos, Jets still have a pretty decent defense. Their offense has a lot of question marks. The Jets open with a ton of nationally televised games. They open with nationally televised games on Monday Night Football. They open up with a Thursday Night Football game. They open up again with another nationally televised game on a Monday the 14th against Buffalo on Monday Night Football. They have a Sunday Night Football game against Pittsburgh. And then they, of course, have another Thursday night prime video game against the Houston Texans. They get a mini bye after that game against the Texans. What's funny is, after those first opening six nationally televised games, they don't have a single one the rest of the season. Some people have speculated maybe they don't think that Aaron Rodgers makes it past week 9 of the season. They play the Cardinals on the road, I believe, at they're at home against the Cardinals, so it's a road game for them on CBS. The depth chart for the Jets is fascinating this year because, Marcos, when you look at their depth chart, you've got, obviously, they're all on Aaron Rodgers. This is a team in which you take a look at, an outside of Garrett Wilson, at least, as far as it goes with their receivers, you basically have Mike Williams, who obviously has been time on and off being hurt. You've got a rookie in Malachi Corley. And their offensive line, they've got a rookie in Olufoshano that they drafted, which I think is a great pick. You're going to be trusting a guy who's been pretty hurt a lot over the last few years in Tyron Smith. You've got Elijah Vera Tucker, who obviously has not been able to plug in. You did draft, I believe it was Joe Tippmann as your center, Morgan Moses at right tackle. How the health of their offensive line and Rodgers will probably determine things this year. Because that defense, you've got Jermaine Johnson, they signed Javon Kinlaw to go next to Quinnen Williams this year. Hassan Reddick, this is one of those kind of, maybe not revenge games necessarily, but you take a look at up and down the roster, this is still a great Jets defense with what on paper seems to be a good Jets offense. I think what really will come down to, is Aaron Rodgers going to look back like old Aaron Rodgers, or even a good Aaron Rodgers? Because we really have not seen that guy be that great Aaron Rodgers. Marco, since like the 2022 NFL season, even in 2023, Rodgers, they lost that end of the season game to the Lions. That kind of was part of the Lions' ascension. The Packers moved on from Aaron Rodgers. This is a spot where, do you think the Cardinals could even be facing Tyrod Taylor in this game? There is so much to be able to figure out with each of those cases. Another good test for the Cardinals rushing attack with Breece Hall. This, I think I have for the Cardinals is being able to get a win, because I think the home game and the questions that they have about with the Jets, you're going to either have an older guy who gets beat up or a rookie in Olufoshano. This is one of those spots where I just think that the Cardinals, when you see how the Cardinals have played Aaron Rodgers in the past, they've actually played him pretty well overall, whether it's been in the playoffs or in other times. The Cardinals have, for whatever reason, been one of those teams that have had Aaron Rodgers' number along with the rest of the NFC West. I've got them winning this game to get to a 5-5 record. What do you think the Cardinals do against the Jets, Marcos?
It's the same. I have them as a win. Their defense, even though their defense is stellar and, you know, can sometimes be elite, their offense is always going to hinge on Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers, like, he does a lot of mistakes against the Cardinals for some reason. I like the fact that we do so well against them. I want to continue doing well against them. So hopefully we can push him into retirement so he can go run for, a spot as a vice president.
Yeah, so I think that we've got this game at least overall as a win. Let's head over past the bye week now with the Arizona Cardinals, week 11, which I think was a good spot for your bye. Last week it was so late. Cardinals used to sometimes have early byes on those old Arizona Cardinals teams in the desert. I think this is a fair bye. The NFL, at least, is also giving them not a bunch of cold weather games. So I think that even though they only got one nationally televised game, the early season games in Green Bay and Buffalo and the bye week in week 11, which is like a good bye week for them, I think it shows a bit of respect. So whatever respect you may have wondered about that they didn't get with the national games, they at least are making up for it here with a good bye placement. They then go ahead and play the Seahawks at week 12 on the road. They'll open up after their bye week. I got the Cardinals actually in this game continuing their winning ways. I've got this as a win for them.
Well, the Seahawks are a bugaboo for us, so I'm going to say, because of all the uncertainty, once again, on both offense and defense, I'm going to say it's a win. I think they're going to get their stuff together by this point with the Cardinals. I'm talking about, like, they're going to figure out their defense. By this point, their offense, it will be figured out, so everything will be clicking. Everything will be – the scheme is going to be there. We're going to know what we're going to run. And the Seahawks don't have the same type of weapons on defense that they've had before, except for Spoon. I don't see anybody else being like a Pro Bowler in that secondary unless, you know, Tariq Woolen decides to become a Pro Bowler again. I think this is going to be a win.
Yeah, that one's going to be really interesting as it is a road game. Cardinals have typically done pretty well against Seattle on the road. They have another road game and a morning game against the Vikings. And Marcos, this is a unique spot. Vikings are probably going to be starting Sam Darnold or a rookie quarterback this year. this is one of those places where this could be a playoff team. This also could be a team that like takes maybe a 7-9, 8-8 season and then comes back stronger next year. A lot of that will depend on how they do with the likes of JJ McCarthy. Also, as well as if TJ Hawkinson, he's supposed to miss the first part of the season. I think he makes it for a tough matchup for them overall. To me, this really comes down to, I think that the Cardinals offense at this point is going to be clicking in a better way where they've got some balanced approach. You've gotten some snaps underneath. There've been some mistakes that have been glossed over. The defensive side of the ball has Jonathan Bullard. So you've got Jerry Tillery. You've got obviously Blake Cashman had a good season, kind of getting a few of those Houston players. You've also got Byron Murphy back in there. Andrew Booth Jr. has just not been able to really play as well or stay healthy. I think this game comes down to, do you think that Sam Darnold in the right situation is going to be able to perform at the same level as a Kyler Murray? Or does JJ McCarthy come in, win that job, and be able to play super well? I think that the advantage the Cardinals have in this game is going to be that you're not playing Kirk Cousins, the veteran. You're not playing a great quarterback for the most part. You're playing either Sam Darnold or JJ McCarthy. I've got this as a win for the Cardinals as a result, but I do think this is going to be a lot closer than people think because the Vikings do have some talent with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and we will see how they do this year with Aaron Jones in that backfield. He's a guy that has been a solid running back for 3 years, and this is a scheme the Cardinals do tend to struggle with as well.
I think for me, I have to pick this as a win mostly because of that quarterback. We don't know who's going to take over the reins. We have no idea how they're going to produce. Yeah, they have two outstanding wide receivers, but same thing. The defense is going to be a heavy blitz type of defense if we can take advantage of knowing how to beat that scheme, which once again, quick throws, hot throws and everything like that. Also running the ball heavily on them. I think this is going to be a win for us. This is going to be the only time that we can say, like against the Vikings, that you know we have a really good chance of being able to win this game. Like just definitely.
Yeah, we'll see how Brian Flores does with that defense overall. That's one of the things that's going to be very interesting. Week 14, Seattle Seahawks at home. I've got this as a loss. I think that they can split with the Seahawks this year. It would not shock me if they're able to beat the Seahawks twice because this is kind of a weird spot where you're really hinging a lot on a new defensive head coach with a brand new scheme that he's bringing in. You're talking about how the Seahawks have put questions at the cornerback spots. You've got Byron Murphy's going to be kind of your upfront guy to stop the run. They were dreadful against the run last year. You can even look at that final game with the Cardinals where they were just down a lot of guys and injuries. And it really took missing a field goal, the Seahawks getting an explosive play to Tyler Lockett, who, let's be honest, is still getting up there in age. He's, I believe, still playing at a high level despite being 31 years old. But this is one of those places where he had a down year for his career last year, did not get to 1,000 yards. You're going to see how Jaxon Smith-Njigba is able to do this past year. I still think that when it comes to divisional games, I think you're going to be able to see the Seahawks either make an adjustment or do well. I also think the Seahawks, they play super well against the Cardinals at home. Cardinals have not beaten the Seahawks at home for a while. I want to be able to say the Cardinals can win this, but at some point I do think that you're going to end up seeing the other pieces of these divisional games bite them. And I think this is a game that I have the Seahawks winning. What do you think, Marcos?
I think the Seahawks are going to win. You just remind me of the new head coach, and the guy's like a genius when it comes to like defensive scheme. So I think if we get one over him, that's great. And I think he is going to make that defense at least better or ascend better. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a loss for the Cardinals because we always split.
All right. Week 15 against the New England Patriots. This one, I think you look at that Patriots roster, I think that they're going to be similar to the Cardinals, better than a lot of people think. Remember when the Cardinals in 2019 had Kyler Murray, it took them, 7 weeks before they got their first win, but they were competitive. They were close in some of those games. They also were able to, down the stretch, kind of get to that 5-win sort of season. I think that the New England Patriots are going to be like that as well, where they can kind of, in the middle of their schedule, will maybe churn out 2 or 3 wins in a row. I think they'll be a better team by this point, but I still think the Cardinals will be the team at this point that, with the rushing attack by this point, I think that you're either going to be seeing a healthy James Conner. We've seen him miss some time, other times come back. Or at worst, you're going to see Trey Benson being back there able to play. And the Patriots are just in the midst of their own reboot, where I think that their run defense could need some help. They've got, I think, at least a lot of pieces working for them. I do think that Drake May is going to be able to... It's kind of like he's got maybe not the same floor as a Jaden Daniels and being able to have as great of a rusher, but I think he's going to end up stepping up and be kind of like that Justin Herbert year one, where you're going to be like, oh yeah, this guy looks like a franchise QB. He's just not on quite as talented of a team. They just don't have that many receivers or veteran receivers there at all. I still think that it's going to be a more competitive and effort game where no one picks the Patriots against the Cardinals and they still put up a fight. I just think the Cardinals win this one. Overall, what do you have against the Patriots, Marcos?
Same thing. It's going to be a win. That's what I feel like, especially just once again, rookie quarterback figuring it out. And this rookie quarterback, he's like a Justin Herbert type of player. He's going to either be lining up the scoreboard early or he's going to be a project guy. So not sure what direction they're going to go. So yeah, I think this has to be a win.
You got the Week 16 Carolina Panthers. This is an East Coast early game. This is probably my every year. You always see a team win one game that they're not supposed to win. How the heck did you win that game? You're not supposed to win that. We saw that last year with the Cardinals against the Cowboys and Josh Dobbs. You also see teams lose a game that you are not supposed to lose. I've got this one as a loss for the Cardinals. Logically, you should say it shouldn't be the case, but you look at some of the factors. They've really struggled in that Carolina Panthers stadium. They've really been able to struggle a lot when it comes to, in the past, some of these East Coast early time games. I think that the Panthers are going to be a team also that's desperate, trying to be able to get one of those wins. We'll see what Bryce Young looks like. We'll see exactly how things go. I've got this as just one of those games that the Cardinals drop. I think that with the Cardinals having a lot of these wins under their belt, I think that the Panthers are going to be one of those teams that are going to be pushing. And they have added a couple of pieces to the rest of their team. They at least have, I think, a decent coaching staff with Dave Canales now. This would not shock me if the Panthers actually are able to knock off the Cardinals, despite most people picking against them. I think this is some of where the attrition of the NFL season is able to come up as well, especially if you end up resting a guy or two for this game, knowing you got the Rams and the Niners coming up after that. Do you have this as a win or a loss, Marcos?
Literally, you read my mind. Same thing. I don't know what it is about the Carolina Panthers, or the kitty cats, like I like to call them. They always seem to like either beat the Cardinals when they're not supposed to. So I don't see anything changing unless the Cardinals go in there and finally dominate against this team. This team, just like the Lions, have their number.
Absolutely. It's interesting to see blue cat teams and the Cardinals. It's been the joke. This is another time they play them there. The Week 17 game away against the Rams. This is one where I think by the end of this season, the Rams obviously have a lot of older guys with Matthew Stafford, with Cooper Kupp. They also have some youth, at least with their defense, with Puka Nacua. I have this game as a loss. I think that this is one of those places where I've got the Cardinals beating the Rams early on in the season. I've got them losing this game here. If you wanted to flip-flop those games, I think that's fine. I think without Aaron Donald, and depending on what the health of Matthew Stafford is going to be like, we've seen some years he basically can play through and make a Super Bowl. Other years, he kind of ends up missing a game or two. The Rams do not really have the guy behind him on the depth chart. You take a look at the Rams, I think it is their depth chart. I believe it's like Jimmy, is it Garoppolo, I think, is under there. And then, of course, we don't know what's going on with the guy who missed most of their season. It was a draft pick last year in Stetson Bennett. Jimmy Garoppolo is actually suspended for the first few games of the year. There were some PEDs that went down. This is one of those things where I could see that Kyren Williams gets banged up through the season. Blake Corum comes in and actually is able to produce at a pretty decent level. The Cardinals have always, like you said, struggled against the Rams. I think that they can split this year, which is kind of what we saw in the past with maybe some of those Bruce Arians years. But I think that you'd have to be able to come out on offense and be able to play a solid game on defense, maybe force a mistake or two. I've got the Rams winning this game, as the Cardinals are in one of the tougher divisions in the NFL. What do you have, Marcos?
I think after they lose, I'm already calling it a loss. I think after we predicted, the Carolina Panthers, win, if the Cardinals do lose that team and then, they're going up against the Los Angeles Rams, I think a lot of it's going to be a situation where, you know, this team will find themselves and they'll say, you know what? We shouldn't have lost against that team. There's no way we're going to lose against the Rams this game. Mm-hmm. We need to beat them. We need to do so that we can, you know, get past this division rival and then hopefully get in the playoff spot. So I think this is going to be one of those like strong, like team effort type of wins where they play with heart. So I think that this is going to be a win. So same thing with you. I'll go ahead and split the same thing. I had him losing early in the season, but I think at this juncture, I think they know what's at stake and it's going to be one of those hard fought games right here. And I think the Cardinals will hopefully pull ahead. So I'm going to put them as a win.
And week 18, what do you have for the Niners? This, of course, is the season finale. Where are these teams at this point? What do you have as the Cardinals finish up their season against the San Francisco 49ers in a home game? For once, it's not actually finishing on the road in San Francisco as it's been, it feels like, the last few years, but they'll be finishing against the Niners at home.
I don't know. It's always hard to pick the Cardinals over the 49ers, but maybe because I'm trying to see where they can win and how they can win this game. And it's hard for me to do so unless I'm just a homer and say, like, yeah, they're going to win this game. So when it comes down to it, the 49ers, the only chance they have to win this game is the 49ers have the situation like on lock. And then they start putting more of their starters or resting their starters. They do that. This is a win. If they're still playing like competitively and they're fighting for that number one seed and they need this win, then it's going to be a loss. So I'm going to predict that this is going to be a win because they'll have that top spot on lock. Kind of similar to like last year where they were the Super Bowl favorites and, you know, they parlayed it into another, you know, great season and the Cardinals win this game.
Yeah. So that's one where I could see the exact same thing happening. I think that there's a good chance that you could end up seeing the Cardinals go out there and win one of these last two games, either against the Rams or the Niners. I think that they are going to lose this game, mostly just because I think that until you can kind of see some of the areas, I think that they can win one of the Rams or the Niners games. I don't know if they'll be able to win both. I think that when it comes down to it, this is a team that, depending on what the health looks like, if the Niners are able to go in for it with another year, knowing that this is probably going to be one of the last years that you have this core of this team together because of Trent Williams' age, because of Brock Purdy, your hope is that they're kind of starting to fall off. What we've seen, of course, has happened, though, was that the Cardinals in some of these finales, sometimes they've gotten just blown out in the past. It's something that I think can be psychological. I think with you, I would love to be able to give them a win here. I think if I was going to give them a win here, I'd give it as a loss to the Rams. I'll put this one as a loss because I think that this is a year where they'll be competing for the playoffs. I think that what we may look back on is say, oh, they could just win that Carolina Panthers game and then go 1-2. You have a shot to being able to get in at least. I think it's going to be a tough stretch for the playoffs this season. I think that 9-8 could still get you in. I think that your best bet is to try to be able to get 10 wins in this season. I think that it's really going to come down to you're going to have to see another team on top of the Cardinals take a step back for them to be able to get in. I've got this one as a loss. And so we've got them finishing right now, Marcos. I've got them at 9-8 on the season. You've got them at 10 wins this season. I would not be shocked at at all if you had 10 wins this season, honestly. Like, that would not be shocking.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be like somewhat similar to like a 9-8 season, but if I have them at 10 wins, then hey, but by all means, I mean, I want to see my Cardinals make the playoffs. I miss them being in that playoff run or being at least very competitive. And I'm tired of the national media always, you know, giving the Cardinals flack about not being pretenders all the time. So, yeah, it's going to, if my mindset just thinking about it from a blind standpoint has me thinking they're going to win 10 games, like I feel pretty good about the Cardinals then at that point.
I think you feel really good about the Cardinals. You also look at some specific splits compared to where they were last year. Cardinals would go from being, I believe it was, technically we can say that it should have been one win, but they were 0-6 in the division last year. Like, they were not even close to competing. They got a lot of early divisional games. And when it came to late in the season, we were able to at least see that they just were not able to kind of finish at least. But that game against the Seahawks is with an asterisk because of those two missed Matt Prater field goals. They should have beaten at least the Seahawks and finished 1-5 on the season. They would be going from 0-6 to 3-3 in the division in each of these cases for both of us. They also would be coming maybe one or two games away from either a postseason berth, or if you're able to go out and just spank the Panthers on the road, you're probably talking about a sure playoff team if they can get to 11 wins on the season in your scenario. I think a lot of Cardinals fans would be very content with that. I think at the end of the day, it really comes down to, can this Cardinals defense be able to put forth effort, be able to get the stops for some of these teams? Do they get some luck against some of these other players? And do we see this Cardinals offense with Kyler Murray be able to put up the stats that we believe they can with Kyler getting some receivers, with being able to get some help on the offensive line, being able to win more games than we saw previously a year ago? That, I think, is all going to be something that will be fun to watch. I could see the bottom for this team, Marcos. It could fall out very quickly with a Kyler Murray injury, I think, is the biggest area of concern for the most part, because there's questions about depth. I think the same thing can be said for other teams like the Niners or the Rams. But what we've seen with this team, I think the depth on the defensive side is probably the biggest concern, considering that they're going to be going up against all of these rookie quarterbacks. You want to take advantage of them. They're also going to be going up against these NFC West ground and pound games. I think that how the season starts and these last two, maybe even say last four games, that's going to be what the season comes down to. You don't want to start off 1-3 or heck even 0-4 to start the season, because then even if you do finish with that 4-0 stretch down there, like we say the Cardinals start rolling, you want to make sure that you can at least see some balance. That's where I think the Arizona Cardinals this year are probably going to see that balance, closer to probably a 9 or 10 win type of season. And that will be it for, I think the honeymoon period for Jonathan Gannon is already over. People are going to want to see a Cardinals team that at least is going to get 7 to 8 wins this season. And at best, you're hoping for probably getting in that 9 or 10 win type of stretch. That'll be it for us on the Revenge of the Birds podcast. Now, obviously, we are going to be entering in kind of a little bit of a hiatus where we're not going to be every single week like we've been in the years past. We'll have a few pop-up shows before training camp, some film study. Marcos is loves to get into. We'll probably have another one if there's some big news that breaks for kind of a pop-up show, but for now we are going to be kind of just getting ready to take a break ourselves, getting ready for a new launch in the fall when training camp is hitting in that late July type of year. Marcos, in the meantime, where can our viewers on the show and our listeners on the podcast find you and your content?
Well, as usual, you can always find me on at Twitter at Pancake Soul, of course the Redbird Reboot, and right here is the best place to come find me. Some articles on AZ Sports Underground, but you know, if you want to reach me and contact me at Pancake Soul, you have any questions or anything like that, I'm always willing to be able to answer with the best of my knowledge and whatever I can. And of course, I am the co-host of this podcast, so you can find me here.
Absolutely. We got the Cardinals at 9 or 10 wins this year with the schedule. We'll see how they do. It's going to be a fun time. Hey guys, Cardinals, this is the basically end of how our show season goes for the most part. We've got our hiatus yet. The Cardinals have been rebooted. They've got a new wide receiver one. They've got a bunch of new talent that's incoming. They've got a healthier Kyler Murray. How will it all play out? We'll be covering all of the stuff of that 2024 season for the most part. But for now, it's time for us for a little while to log off. You have a wonderful rest of your day, everyone, and go Cardinals.
Have a great one.